As we study history, we know that Thanksgiving, America's holiday, which we've just celebrated, history books say was founded by a group of struggling pilgrims during the fall of 1621. Interesting book about that account by Peter Marshall and David Manuel. It's a book entitled The Light and the Glory. And it tells how pilgrims of Plymouth Rock endured extreme hardship in order to pioneer a new land. I'd like to read some comments from their account of that effort. 3 long months at sea aboard the Mayflower and a brutal winter left them ragged, malnourished, and susceptible to disease. During the first 4 months of that year, nearly half of the emigres had succumbed to illness and died under the harsh strain of their barren lifestyle. Pilgrim's daily existence was a life-or-death battle to overcome constant hunger, sickness, and exposure to the elements. Crudely assembled houses made of mud were their only shelter from the icy New England weather. Because they were not yet knowledgeable about their new environment's agriculture, planting gardens in the hostile conditions proved virtually fruitless. Every meal was portioned out meticulously. The death toll, a constant reminder of their fragility, rose steadily. At one point, only 5 men were well enough to care for the sick. Despite their tribulations, the pilgrims thanked God every day, petitioning Him for rehabilitation. One morning, during an ordinary Sunday worship service, they saw tangible evidence that God had heard their prayers. Their church service was interrupted by an unexpected guest. An Algonquin Indian chief who assessed their hopeless situation and returned with a helper named Squanto. Familiar with that name? The pilgrims who had warred with Indians before and lived with a continuous fear of being attacked by them were astonished by their new friend's eagerness to provide much-needed assistance. Squanto, a Patuxet Indian who spoke perfect English, taught the pilgrims how to hunt game, trap beavers, and plant Indian corn, a staple that would eventually save their lives. When the harvest yielded more than the pilgrims could eat, Governor William Bradford, their elected leader, declared a day of public thanksgiving. He invited the chief of a friendly neighboring Indian tribe to join in their tribute of thanksgiving. The pilgrims were excited to celebrate with their honored guest, but were completely shocked when he arrived with 90 other Indians. Although God had provided abundantly, their food supply would not accommodate a group of this size, and they had no idea how to feed their visitors. Despite their quandary, all worries were soon dismissed. Their amazement and ever-increasing thankfulness, the Indians had brought with them 5 dressed deer, 12 fat wild turkeys. Over time, they taught the women how to make pudding, maple syrup, and an Indian delicacy, roasted popcorn. But the pilgrims' trials were far from finished. Their plentiful autumn was followed by a particularly treacherous winter. Unfortunately, the weather proved to be the least of their ailments. In November, a ship called the Fortune dropped anchor in their harbor. Aboard that ship were 35 more colonists who had brought with them no provisions, no food, no extra clothing, no equipment for survival. Additionally, the oppression of the physical environment had become almost unbearable after a 12-week drought dried up their crops and withered their spirits. The newcomers' arrival had drained already inadequate food rations, and there was no obvious resource for sustenance. At their lowest point, the pilgrims were reduced to a daily ration of 5 kernels of corn apiece. In utter desperation, they fell to their knees and prayed as a group for 8 hours without ceasing. Again, God heard their supplications. 14 days of rain followed. A second day of thanksgiving was declared. The neighboring Indian chief was again their honored guest. He brought with him 120 braves this time. The pilgrims feasted on game and turkey as they had during the previous celebration, only this time one dish was different. The first course, served on an empty plate in front of each person, consisted of 5 kernels of corn, a reminder of God's faithful provision for them. The pilgrims' humble response to their affliction is evidenced by their many writings, which express deeply thankful hearts. We can learn countless lessons about sincere thankfulness from their example. Interesting account, one that some of those details I was not familiar with in the past. We've just celebrated a day devoted to thankfulness. And this account certainly is a dramatic example of God responding to their thankfulness. I'd like you to turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 1 and 2, where the focus here is, among other things, not on thankfulness, but on its opposite. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. Perilous times. The Greek word translated perilous means troublesome, dangerous, harsh, fierce, full of risk, hazardous, harmful, dreadful, threatening. Perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. This list, it goes on, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, etc., in verses 4 and 5. A lengthy list of destructive end-time attitudes. But let's focus on unthankful for this split sermon. Why is being unthankful a symptom of perilous times? How is it, among all these other things, traitors, brutal, despisers of good, how is it that unthankfulness is such a symptom, one of those symptoms of perilous times? How is unthankfulness a symptom of a sick and destructive society? Why is it growing, as it seems to be? And just how is it harming us, being unthankful? Why is it increasing and so destructive? In Romans chapter 1, we've just, again, completed focus on thankfulness, but today let's answer some of those questions about being unthankful. Why is unthankfulness a sign of perilous times? Romans chapter 1, Paul wrote a very insightful analysis of people who ignore the evidence of a creator God. And what is the fruit of that? Romans chapter 1, we read in verse 20 and 21, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." And out in western Wisconsin, where it was so quiet and peaceful, where we were for Thanksgiving, you look out at the stars at night, and there's no city lights to dim those, and it's just beautiful, absolutely gorgeous. And it is awesome, to an awesome reminder of a creator. Verse 21, "Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts. And their foolish hearts were darkened." So people who do not acknowledge God, where we find in these verses, and his power, are obviously not going to be thankful to him. They don't acknowledge God, they're not going to thank him. And then they become foolish in their thoughts. Thoughts that don't take into account the ultimate reality of existence, where it came from, and a God who has a plan. You know, they have other thoughts, foolish thoughts, because they don't acknowledge God and are not thankful to God. So we begin to see then the path that being unthankful takes people down this path. There's a direct connection between unthankfulness and landing here, futile in their thoughts, foolish. Hearts were darkened, foolish in their hearts. Beautiful thoughts. In Psalm 146 addresses another element of human nature and where so many are in this age. Psalm 146. And verses 3 and 4, because if a person believes certain things, let's just read these verses. Psalm 146, verse 3 and 4. "Do not put your trust in princes, nor in a son of man in whom there is no help. His spirit departs, He returns to his earth, and that very day his plans perish. And so, again, people who do not acknowledge God and his, you know, and his power, and consider themselves just being evolved from an animal, that all human life has just come from animals. And so I must be the master of my own destiny because, you know, it's this life and we're evolved from animals, so I'm in charge of my life entirely. And their thoughts reach no further than this lifespan. And so many through the ages have lived with that. Nothing beyond this lifespan. And so from what Paul said, their thoughts would also be fleeting and futile and foolish and blind to the spiritual reality of eternity and what God has planned for eternity. So again, we begin to see how unthankfulness, not being thankful to a loving God, to a creator God, takes one down a certain path of thinking. It brings to the world to where we see it today. There's an interesting case study. If we go to the book of Daniel, an ancient case study of unthankfulness that led to pride and how that pride was later transformed into praise. The account is in Daniel chapter 4. And we see this account in the life of King Nebuchadnezzar. And you're familiar with the story. And in a troubling dream, we know that he had, that Daniel had to interpret for him. God had warned the king about the results of his self-absorbed, unthankful, prideful path that he was on. God had warned him about that. We read in Daniel 4, beginning here in verse 24. "This is the interpretation," Daniel said, "O king, and this is the decree of the Most High which has come upon my lord, the king. They shall drive you from men. Your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make you eat grass like oxen. They shall wet you with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over you, till you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he chooses." So here is a warning from Daniel. But we know that Nebuchadnezzar didn't listen to that. 12 months later, he was again idolizing his own power. 12 months later, again, just totally self-focused on his power and wealth. We read in verse 29 and 30. The end of the 12 months, he was walking about the royal palace of Babylon. King spoke, saying, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty?" But we know, because verse 31 continues, "While the word was still in the king's mouth, a voice fell from heaven, 'King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom has departed from you. They shall drive you from men, your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, you shall eat grass like oxen, and seven times shall pass over you, though you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, and he gives it to whomever he chooses." That very hour, the word was fulfilled concerning Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from men. He grassed like oxen. His body was wet with dew of heaven, till his hair had grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. From that very hour, the prophecy was fulfilled, and Nebuchadnezzar became like a wild animal, ate grass, nails grew like claws. Poetic justice. For a man who didn't acknowledge God, was unthankful to God for all that he'd done, was not humbled before God, but totally focused on himself. That justice eventually changed his pride to praise in verse 37. "Now, after this punishment was removed, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of Heaven, all of whose works are truth and his ways justice, and those who walk in pride he is able to put down." So Nebuchadnezzar had a significant change of heart. But again, we see where being unthankful and not acknowledging God took his thinking down a certain path, a path of foolishness, a path that led to this kind of punishment, as Paul described there in Romans chapter 1. Being unthankful can be associated with an underlying rejection of God. It certainly was in the case of Nebuchadnezzar. If we don't recognize what God has done for us, well, then it's easy to put something else in God's place. Nebuchadnezzar put himself in God's place. Human beings put other things in the place of God because they don't express their thanks to God. And as a result, you know, it disconnects people from reality, from God's reality. And all they have is human reality, often making a god of themselves, of what they have, of what they do. But they're cut off from the true reality of what God is doing. And so if we were to ignore the blessings of God, as well as the contributions of others, as part of being thankful, well, then we have blind spots. Human beings develop blind spots, keeps them from seeing the big picture of what God is doing. So unthankfulness leads to, again, foolish thoughts, futile thoughts, as Paul said. In Proverbs 16, here's a law of the universe. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 18. Seems to be a law of something God has put in motion that we see often happen. Pride, it says, goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Pride goes before destruction. And how often do we see in the news and national headlines, world headlines, you know, somebody who was so filled with pride and accomplishment being brought to nothing, being brought to destruction? So again, being unthankful, self-centeredness, not only can bring a person to destruction, but not pleasant to be around, you know, that kind of spirit and that kind of attitude. It can sever friendships, prevent close relationships, and lead to people being isolated. And it seems we have more and more of that today. It's just not fun to be around somebody who is totally self-centered and unthankful and doesn't appreciate anything done for them. So it poisons relationships and has created a situation in our world today that it is part of the sign of perilous times. I'll explain that a little more as we go along. I want to read a quote from some research that appeared in an article in the New York Times. It summarized some of the recent research about being thankful, about gratitude. And this is, again, quoting from the article. It says, cultivating an attitude of gratitude has been linked to better health, sounder sleep, less anxiety and depression, higher long-term satisfaction with life, and kinder behavior toward others. If kinder behavior towards others is cultivated by being thankful, well, then unthankfulness would make behavior towards others likely to be less kind. And then we get words that we read there in 2 Timothy, like brutal and unloving and traitorous and, you know, violent type things. Kinder behavior towards others. A new study shows that feeling grateful makes people less likely to turn aggressive when provoked. But not feeling grateful then would make people turn to being more aggressive when they're provoked. And so today, things that seem so often, arguments on a school ground that used to end in a bloody nose, now somebody pulls out a gun and shoots somebody. And we just more and more aggressive. The article goes on, why does gratitude do so much good? More than other emotion, gratitude is the emotion of friendship. That is, people relationships. Dr. Michael McCullough says it is part of a psychological system that causes people to raise their estimates of how much value they hold in the eyes of another person when someone thanks us or is grateful for what we've done for them. We do that for others. It builds and strengthens those bonds of friendship. Gratitude is what happens when someone does something that causes you to realize that you matter more to that person than you thought you did. Interesting statement, interesting article, interesting summary. Because when you look at the other end of the opposite of this, well, then it begins to explain more and more why we see such aggression, violence and hateful things, hurtful things being done in the world around us that has made this world more and more perilous. More and more, people are less and less thankful and grateful. In Matthew 7:12, what we've just read is really this in action. Matthew 7 and verse 12, we call it the golden rule. And it's summarized here in Matthew 7 and verse 12, which is a good description of the article I just read. Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets, the golden rule. I think it's safe to say we all like to be appreciated, and gratitude is kind of a lubricant in human relationships. It smooths, helps make human relationships a little smoother. It helps to build friendships. It helps to strengthen friendships and family bonds. Being thankful and appreciative. Being thankful and appreciative to others, a husband, a wife, a friend, children, etc., those with whom we have close relationships. It really pays off in the long run. It makes our own lives more happy. I think, here you have experienced that, and you understand how that works. But thankfulness also helps to build our relationship with God as well. When we focus on, here is a loving Father who wants what is best for us and wants us to be thankful as a result also. God wants us to have the benefits of a positive outlook on life, and so many struggle today to have that. To have a positive outlook on life and a right perspective on God's blessings. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. And again, you're familiar with what's here. Just want to read just one verse. The entire section here is important to read, but let's just focus on this one verse because this describes the kind of outlook on life that God would like all human beings to have. To have this kind of outlook on life. Philippians 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Think on these things. This is, again, the kind of outlook on life God would like us to have. And as we focus on those things, to be thankful for those things, and again, what God has given us and what God has done for us. So let me just give you a list that I've put together of some specific dangers of being unthankful and why it's included as a sign of perilous times. You can think of others, but I've jotted down five or six that make unthankfulness such a perilous thing in our age as we see the fruit of it. Number one, it can cause a person to develop an unhealthy ego. Why is that dangerous? It can cause a person to develop an unhealthy ego. A healthy ego or healthy self perspective is important. We, as parents, want our children to grow up with confidence, to accomplish, to pursue goals. We want our children to believe in themselves in the right way and have a certain amount of confidence. But that's different than raising children to believe that they are better than everyone else around them. And that happens all too often in today's society. It's dangerous for kids to grow up and believe that they really don't need anyone else, they don't need any help, that they don't need God. It becomes dangerous because when we have that habit of expressing gratitude, it's a constant reminder in life of how God has helped us, of how others have helped us. And it creates that bond with God and with others. It's a reminder of that. But today, many young people have a very hardened attitude towards others. And I think the wanton acts of violence that we see so often is evidence of that. They just have a very hardened attitude towards other people. And that often comes from being unthankful and having an unhealthy ego. Then we see the fruit of that in the world today. A second danger of being unthankful It invites the wrong kind of friend. It invites the wrong kind of friend. One of the best ways to burn through good friendships is to never show gratitude. To never show appreciation or be thankful. And, you know, good friends, smart friends, are not going to stay in those kind of relationships with people who just use them and drain them. So you can expect the right kind of friends to avoid unthankful, ungrateful people. I think as parents, we teach these things to our children to recognize, you know, healthy friendships and unhealthy friendships. At the same time, people who are ungrateful as a part of the philosophy of life attract others who have that same spirit. It's true that this quote that says, the quality of your friends will determine the direction of your life. And ungrateful people tend to go down that slippery path. And so we see people today oftentimes banding together with others to commit acts of violence and to wreak havoc on other people and, you know, in theft, in violent actions, side by side with others who are of the same ilk. And so unthankfulness invites the wrong kind of friends. A third danger, being unthankful fuels an attitude of entitlement. Fuels an attitude of entitlement. That is, the world owes me. And if we want our children to grow up and believe the world owes me, then let their ungrateful attitude go unchecked. But, you know, many parents aren't even around their children growing up to check an ungrateful or unthankful attitude. They never even see it because they're not with their children so many hours of the day, and they're not able to check that kind of wrong attitude. So as a result, the world owes me, and nobody tells them that it's any different, that they deserve it. And this breeds selfishness, vanity, greed, all the things that fill our institutions of business, politics, education today. You know, you owe me. And even when individuals make a mistake on the job, do they seek correction? If they receive correction, do they receive it well? In so many cases, they don't. The world owes me. Such a person would have little respect for any of God's commandments, especially the final six that describe our relationship with our neighbor. So the world becomes a more dangerous place. This is largely where society is today. A fourth reason why unthankfulness contributes to perilous times: being unthankful breeds discontentment, makes people discontent. And, you know, because we're human, sometimes we all have those times when we kind of drift toward it's not enough attitude. I'd like more. We've all had those experiences and times, but discontentment is really how the human problem started. When you think about it. You go back to Adam and Eve and the discontentment in their lives. Two people who lived in paradise, who had everything. They became obsessed with the one thing they didn't have. They were told. As a result, they lost everything. Discontentment is a dangerous thing. It was dangerous for Adam and Eve. It became dangerous for them. And when we show gratitude, we're just adjusting our focus to be away from being discontented and to be content with what God has provided. And it turns our attention to what we have instead of just focusing on what we don't have. Otherwise, it can become a dangerous thing. People don't have, and so they want. And if they aren't going to do it, acquire it legitimately, well, I'll get it another way, with violence. A fifth sign, or a reason why unthankfulness is dangerous: unthankfulness nurtures a critical spirit. Thankfulness nurtures a critical spirit. When you think about it, practicing it, you know, any positive virtue, whatever it is, practicing and living a positive virtue helps us overcome negative attitudes. Satan broadcasts in moods and attitudes, negative moods and attitudes, practicing positive virtues, including thankfulness, helps us to overcome negative attitudes. And so we've learned this in God's church. If we know that we have a tendency to be jealous, maybe that's been a problem for us in the past, well, we try to learn to praise and celebrate what somebody else accomplishes. And we genuinely congratulate them. And we exercise a positive action to overcome a negative attitude. If we have a tendency to kind of be indifferent towards others, then we try to do acts of kindness for someone to express kindness in that way. If we have a problem with being critical, and we know that that's been something we've had to overcome through the years, that it helps to work at showing gratitude and being thankful, to focus on the positive, to overcome a negative attitude. We've learned this in God's church and through with the help of God's Spirit. So unthankfulness nurtures a critical spirit, but thankfulness is in harmony with God's Spirit. And the last one, and perhaps this is again where so many nations in the past and Israel has gone awry and individuals as well, being unthankful attracts the displeasure of God. Being unthankful attracts the displeasure of God. Think about Israel's history and Judah's history and Israelite nations today are individuals. If we don't acknowledge God, and of course we in God's church do, we try to be thankful for all God does. He brought us to where we are today, to his church, to an understanding of truth. But if we don't acknowledge God and aren't thankful, then how can a person have confidence and faith that God is going to take us where he says he's taking us? How can he have confidence that God is doing anything in their lives? Or how can a person have confidence that there's a purpose for life, that God is involved in that purpose, if we don't acknowledge God and be thankful for what he provides? It would seem to create a very hopeless condition in life. Life has no purpose, no meaning. There's no God. How is that going to help me? And how am I going to get? What is my purpose? Creates certain hopelessness. So these are some of the reasons why unthankfulness is a part of perilous times. And we certainly see it growing all around us. Once a person is free from those blind spots that unthankfulness creates, well, then he, especially if God is working in us through his Spirit, which we believe he is, well, then we understand our purpose. We understand that the reality, the lasting reality, is not this physical earth, not this physical life, but eternity. That God has created us for eternity. And God has given us everything we have. And though he has a purpose for us, it is an eternal purpose for which we are very grateful. We appreciate what God has done. I want to conclude with two scriptures. One in 1 Thessalonians 5. God owns everything. He's given us everything we have. He even gave the life of his son so that we can be forgiven our sins. In 1 Thessalonians 5, when we ask the question, what can we give him? Well, let's read here in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16, 17, and 18. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. What can we give to God? What can we really give to God? Well, we certainly give him our obedience, our love, and our thanks. Be very thankful to God. And finally, Psalm 107. Psalm 107 and verse 1. Psalm 107, verse 1. Tells us, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. We sing that. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. Unthankfulness, sadly, has become a hallmark, one of the hallmarks of the end of the age. and we see it in our society all around us. God exhorts us to give thanks to Him, be grateful for all He has done and all that He is doing in our lives. So let's continue to grow in the spirit and attitude of thankfulness.